Yes, prayer is vitally important to a time like this. Should we be saying, I've prayed, and then, you know, this is not the time where we start praying. This should be a conversation we have constantly. Paul told the Thessalonian church to do what? Pray continually. He told them to pray continually because that is the will of God in the situation. I want to read a couple of scriptures, and this is more of a devotional than it is a sermon at this point. And honestly, it's not going to take too long. I just feel that right here, I don't have anything written down, so trust me, it's not. This is all what God has laid on my heart, and I've shared a lot of it already. So as far as the structure of a sermon, that's the difficult part for me to say. Yes, John chapter 17 has been on my heart for a week because it's the Savior's own words. It's Christ's own words about what he feels for us, for what he wants in the church and what he wants in the community around us. I honestly believe that. I truly believe that what Christ wants in the bride of the church is unity. He wants unity to come together, to be one with him as he and the Father are one. The reality is that that joining, that marriage of the bride with the groom and with the Father is a beautiful thing to think about. That marriage that we're going to have, that conversation that we talk about when it comes to this situation, if we show unity, we show we're all on the same page, then the people around us don't become so fearful because they see that we're calm. I've seen interesting comments made all week, comments that were made along the lines of, you know, why is it that the ones with anxiety are the ones that are the most calm right now? And honestly, it's true. Look around you. Think about the people that are always freaking out about stuff. But right now, they're a lot calmer than the people that are going and panic buying everything at the store. I mean, we realize the anticipation of this is something maybe we need to understand, but maybe we don't. Panic buying only depletes the economy. It only depletes things even more so than what we're already dealing with. To answer a couple of questions, no, the National Guard is not here. They're not coming in as of right now. And they do not have the right to be a police force in that charity mission that they would be on anyway. They would be here to help with the medical centers on getting things taken care of. There's been a whole lot of conversation that's out there that's just not true. And that's what a time like this brings. It sure sounds like the chaos that could surround some of these end of days things. But there's a couple scriptures that have come to mind this morning I do want to share. One is 2 Chronicles scripture out of 2 Chronicles 7. And people have been sharing this a lot over the last few days and weeks and going through this conversation. But 2 Chronicles 7, starting in verse 12, not verse 14. We always hear verse 14. But remember, contextually speaking, look at the whole thing. Then the Lord appeared to Solomon in the night and said to him, I've heard your prayer and I have chosen this place for myself as a house of sacrifice. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer that is made in this place. For now I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. My eyes and my heart will be there for all time. And as for you, if you will walk before me as David your father walked, doing according to all that I have commanded you and keeping my statutes and my rules, then I will establish your royal throne. As I covenanted with David, your father, saying, you shall not lack a man to rule Israel. Now this is God talking to Solomon about the promise he made to David that David's line would be the line that ruled Israel forever. But here are the promise that he's making in this. A promise that many have been talking about over the last few days. Why? Because you've got the lack of rain, Australian fires. People have been throwing that out there. This has been all over Facebook. If you haven't seen it, this is new to you. I'm honestly a little surprised. But talking about this, the fires that were in Australia, the lack of rain, the wildfires, the locust, just in the news yesterday, more pictures, more video, more different people running from locust plagues that are just absolutely devouring Africa right now. And then you've got this little pestilence called the COVID virus that's taking over the world. And people are finding hope in this scripture. Why? Because of what it says to his people. People are finding hope in this because even though those three things are happening in the world, they're comparing it. But folks, this is evidence that the scripture can talk to us today just as much as it did when it was written. What God meant for Solomon can be used for us to find hope and opportunity in his word. But it says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. What does that mean for us today? It means repent. Come back. Recognize. Right? If my people who are called by my name, who are the people called by his name? His children. The ones that he prayed for in John 17. The ones that he called to. The ones that he said, Lord, if they can be one as you and I are one, then that is where we want to be. I want us to be unified so that, Lord, the world will know that you sent me. I want us to be unified so that they will know that they are as loved as I was by you. See, that conversation cannot be taken lightly. How do we show the love of Christ? Last week I talked about that we show the love of Christ by showing that we give in to the authority of human leaders. It says, be subject to human authority. It also talks about that they will give God the glory for the things that we are doing. Now, as I've said before already, I don't believe that we're against human authority right now in the fact that we are here as 10. I don't think that we're in a situation where we're defying anything, but we're coming together to pray for this community, to pray for this world, to pray for this opportunity we have to shine the light of Christ in a darkness. There's fire in the world. There's pestilence in the world. There's locusts in the world. There's all of these things happening. But if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's the first part, humble themselves. And that's what brings us into the pride conversation again. Are we doing the things we're doing because of pride, or are we doing it for other reasons? If they will humble themselves and pray, seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. There's a step-by-step instruction book as to how we accomplish this. Humble yourself and pray. Seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. Humble yourself and pray. Let go of pride. Lift it up to God. Seek him. And by seek him, it means diligently, not just say I'm a Christian and keep going with your life, and then turn from your wicked ways, repent, let go of the things, the sins that tie you down and hold you back. And in doing so, then, not any other word, then meaning these things are required prior to, then will I hear from heaven. God tells us why he's not listening sometimes. God tells us how to get that listening ear to us. Then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sins and heal their land. Forgiveness has to come before healing. Repentance has to come before hearing. There's a method and a path that we must follow. Can we repent for everyone? No, but we can repent for ourselves. Surely we can pray for everyone and we can pray for repentance as a country, and maybe he will hear that. But it's going to be up to God's people to go before the Lord and lift these things up to him. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. This does not go together in any other way than that exact step-by-step instruction. The second scripture I want to share is, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. That verse is, a lot of that has been used. People have talked about that this week as well. He who rests in the secret place of the Most High will dwell within the shadow of his wing. He will protect his. He will guard his own. He will offer protection to their tent and to their house and to their livelihood. There's hope in that. Knowing that if we go in and we continue to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we can be protected by him. What does that mean? I don't know. I know what it means to us spiritually. I know what it means to us as Christians. What does it mean in a time where this virus is going around, and if us going into the home of a sick person to pray over them could get us sick, what does that mean for us as ministers? What does that mean for us as his ministers? That future is uncertain. Just being real, I can't tell you whether you're going to get this or not. I have no vision of the future that says that all of us in this building will be exempt from this. But I do have a trust and a faith in the Lord to know that he will protect me, that he will offer me hope in a time of destruction, that he will give me peace during this. I do also know that the scripture says that my days are numbered. Therefore, if I get this, and that is what causes me ultimately to my demise, then it's the Lord's will. And that's a hard thing to come to terms with. Believe me, it's been a really hard thing to come to terms with this week, seeing all the things that have been happening. But God has put me out of my comfort zone this week to call the community to prayer. And so as I come to you today, I want to call this community to prayer. Whether it be through the prayer vigil that I started at the community-wide level or just simply within this body, I ultimately envision that before Easter or around Easter, we will have a prayer vigil at this church. Why? Because I fully believe in the power of God's prayer, of God's people coming before him. If my people who are called by name will humble themselves and pray, put aside the pride, put aside all of these things that are holding us back from being 100% devoted in faith to him. Seek his face and turn from the wicked ways. Turn from the things that are keeping us from getting closer. Wicked ways in our lives cause us to pull back. Then will he hear from heaven and forgive our sins, then heal the land. It's going to be God's people that have to come together to pray, to seek healing. And it may have to be that we have to seek healing for this land as well. I don't know. What I do know is that when the Lord returns and calls us home, that we have a home that he's been working about, that he's been fixing for us. And it says, in my Father's house there are many rooms. If there were not so, I would not have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. But he also said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. The last verse I want to share is this. Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Do not take this opportunity that we have lightly right now. The opportunity to pray for healing, to pray for hope, to pray for opportunity to share the gospel of Christ with a world around us that's in the dark. Watch and pray. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. You know, Jesus, when he was at the garden and he walked back over to the disciples and he said, couldn't get you to watch with me for 1 hour? For 1 hour. I couldn't just get you to watch with me for 1 hour. They fell asleep all because they were tired. Folks, right now, we're tired. Every one of us is set up watching some news source, probably going through hearing more than we've ever wanted to know about the situation that's at hand. And honestly, there's things I know now that I wish I didn't know. And the reality of it is that I am tired. And if I'm tired, I would think that y'all are tired. Unless somehow, some way, you have a piece about this that I don't understand. But I know that we have an opportunity for peace that passes understanding. I don't think it's any accident that this is happening. I don't think that it's any accident that the Lord is allowing these things to take place right now in our country and in this world. So the way we're going to end this today, the way we're going to come to this right now, is simply this. I'm going to open us in prayer.